now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today we have arrived at the second of the three Sundays of pre-Lent, which is called Sexagesima. Every time I hear the name of this Sunday, I always think of Deaconess Mary Jane, who would come before the service, catch us back in the clergy vesting room and say, does that mean we're going to talk about sex today? She was one of a kind. No, that's not what the name is referencing. Sexagesima is an older way of saying that we're approximately 60 days from Easter. These Sundays of pre-Lent serve as a countdown to Lent, preparing us for the spiritual discipline of that season. Last week, we talked about the Christian life as a race. This week, in light of our Lord's parable, we think of the Christian life in agrarian terms. We are likened to soil, which is intended to receive good seed. In consideration of this well-known parable, I want to start with the last of the soils and then work our way back to the first three soils. That is, I want to briefly consider the ideal and then work back to consider the hindrances to the ideal. This happens to be one of the few parables that our Lord Jesus actually explained the meaning of, and we're glad for the ones he did explain because it helps us to figure out the other ones. He tells us plainly here that the seed is the Word of God. He doesn't connect this dot, but I think we're on pretty safe ground to suggest that he is the sower of this good seed. The four soils represent those who hear the Word of God. The fourth soil is the good ground which received the seed and bore fruit, as St. Luke tells us, a hundredfold. In St. Matthew's version, he describes a variety of fruit bearing, some 30, some 60, some hundredfold. And this fruit, of course, represents godly living, such as that described by St. Paul in his letter to the Galatians, where he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Regardless of the amount of fruit, this soil represents those who hear the word, receive it, and bear fruit as a result. This is the ideal. This is the intended purpose for which he sows his seed. That is, this is what he intends when his word goes out to his people. It should be noted at the outset that there is absolutely nothing wrong with the seed in this story. It's the same seed, the good seed, all the way through, which falls on every soil. When the seed does not bring forth its desired effects, the problem is with the soil, that is, the hearer of the word. Now, with this in mind, let us circle back and consider the hindrances to fruit bearing which are represented in the three soils, the other three soils. The first soil is the wayside, the path over which people travel, which over time has become hardened. Jesus tells us that one of the hindrances to his word producing fruit in us is a hard heart like that hard path. The seed lands there, and since it does not penetrate into the heart, it is exposed to the birds, which are sent by the devil to snatch away. This condition is the greatest danger that we might be exposed to. The litany in our prayer book recognizes this truth. We're taught to pray to the Lord to deliver us from hardness of heart and contempt of his word and commandment. It is a dangerous thing to hear and ignore the word of God. What might be the solution to this condition? Well, simply stated, open ears and a soft heart. We need to plow up our hearts during these weeks leading up to Lent so that when Christ's word is proclaimed, we will be receptive to it. We need to have our ears opened so that we might be attentive to what he says to us. And our hearts need to be pliable to receive what is sown. St. James admonishes us in this regard when he writes, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Isn't it interesting that the word is spoken of as implanted? The second hindrance to fruit bearing is set forth with the second soil. Jesus describes this soil as shallow, with rocks nearby under the surface. This soil represents those who initially receive the word, but when temptation comes, they turn away and do not bear fruit. So the second hindrance is temptation. According to the scriptures, temptation can come from without, and it can come from within. The devil who snatched away the seed in the first soil may also come with an enticement to ignore God's word. That is what he did, after all, to our first parents in the Garden of Eden. The proper response to this sort of temptation is on display with our Lord Jesus in the wilderness, which we will read in just a couple of Sundays on the first Sunday in Lent. Our Lord Jesus, when he answered each of the devil's temptations with, "It is written." And then he quoted a text from Holy Scripture. We too can employ this method, and if we hold fast, the devil will eventually depart. But then there is the temptation from within, our own corrupted hearts are a source of temptation. Once again, St. James instructs us in this: let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. These sinful desires, which remain in our hearts, can be like that rock underneath the soil that Jesus describes. These rocks can hinder God's word from sinking deep into our hearts, taking root, and bringing forth fruit. There really is only one solution: dig up the rocks. During the days leading up to Lent, let us pray to the Lord to expose those rocks in our lives. And during the season of Lent, by the grace of God, let us get out our spiritual shovels and dig up and remove all that keeps us from living according to the Lord's commandments. The third and final hindrance described by Jesus are thorns, which grow up beside the plant that springs forth, and they choke it out. This represents those who hear and receive the word of God, but the thorns, which stunt the growth and prohibit the bearing of fruit, are the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. It is interesting that mankind's three great enemies are on display in this parable: the devil, the flesh, and the world. The devil snatches away the word. The devil and the flesh, that is, our sinful desires, seek to lead us to disregard God's word. And now we see the world represented by these cares, riches, and pleasures. Each of these represent a worldly solution to a God-sized problem. The cares of life signify a worldly desire to be in control of everything. This is expressed in an idea such as that from the poem, "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." No, you aren't. And the sooner you realize this, the better off you will be. We are completely reliant upon the grace and mercy of God. As Christians, we're taught to walk by faith, not by sight. We're told to trust God with our present and our future. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Jesus says, and all these things shall be added unto you. The second worldly desire presented here are riches. We're constantly told by advertisers, if you had this, you would be happy. Wealth, if properly used, is not an evil. It's only when we turn it into an end, a means to fulfillment and satisfaction, that it can have its negative effects. Receive what the Lord gives you and be content. And take your abundance and use it for good. During the season of Lent, we are called to give. In fact, we will have special offerings which are intended to help us make sure that we don't make money the ultimate object of our desire. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. The third worldly desire that hinders the fruit bearing of God's word are the pleasures of life. This is all about fulfillment. What must you have to make you happy? A bigger house, a better car, a better husband or wife. We need to reorder our desires, and that is another part of the Lenten season. If we seek pleasures apart from our commitment to God and his word, we will never, never find fulfillment in this world. Because apart from him, the next house won't be big enough. The next car won't satisfy, and soon enough, we'll find a flaw in the person that we just had to have. May the good Lord help us to weed out these thorns in our lives that we might bear his fruit. So on this Sunday, we think of our lives like soil in a field. God's desire is that his word would take root in our hearts and bring forth the fruit of good living. But these are hindrances to his purposes which endanger that goal. During the seasons of pre-Lent and Lent, may God help us to actively prepare our hearts to receive his word and to bring forth its fruit. I close with another petition from our litany. May it be our prayer. Good Lord, may it please thee to give to all thy people increase of grace to hear meekly thy word and to receive it with pure affection and to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.